This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Who would be a wolf spud, eh?
On goes Paul. People might yet win it here for Wolves. Flat in the shot. What a goal!
Hello and welcome everyone to this the Wolves Fancast. And you've already read the title, so you know what this is all about. This is Stories from the Pack, where we talk to someone, an influencer maybe, and a reporter, or just one of our own.
Just one of our own.
And yet, obviously, I'm not Rich and I'm not Hoops either, even though I'm going to morph in that way. Third time's a charm with host of this section of the podcast. So before we crack into it, who are you, Luke?
Who am I?
Well, you can go both. Luke Amore Thompson.
No, I'm fine. A lot cooler today. Absolutely scorching yesterday. A lot cooler today. But no, thanks for stepping up to do these Stories from the Pack with myself. I've wanted to do one for ages, to be fair. And while we've got nothing else to fill, Fancast, we might as well cart me out from the back.
It'll bring you back out from your self-imposed reserve bench.
Yeah. Substitution. Coming onto the pitch, number 9, Luke Thompson.
Well, saying off the subs bench, let's hop around. Let's go like Pulp Fiction. So at one time in the distant past, which many listeners, new listeners, might not know, you were a staple. You were part of the every week. So how did that even come about? Because I don't think I know about it.
Basically, I was just working with Dave at Bromford Housing. We've just started talking about Wolves. Obviously, both being Wolves fans, we just started talking. And he was like, oh, I do this podcast. I didn't even know what a podcast was at the time. Because, I mean, this is going back. Got to be about 10 years, 10, maybe even 11 years. He's like, oh, I'll do this podcast as me. And we used to work with Jonathan Meek as well. There's another blast from the past. Yeah. So there's me, Dave, John. And he's like, oh, just come on the podcast. And it was back in the day when Dave used to record them from his mum and dad's house. I remember I just went down and just started chatting shit about Wolves and the rest is history, as they say. But honestly, I didn't even know what a podcast was. I had no clue. I don't think I'd even heard of a podcast before. But he was like, yeah, just come down. We just talk about Wolves. So I thought, you know what, why not? And then 10, 11 years later, I'm still here. Even though, you know, I've dipped in and out, but I always seem to come back.
Yeah, you went up the Carl Fletcher route. You were the main attraction, and you went away. You had your time in the sun. You can't stay away, and you come back. Obviously, hopefully, you don't turn into a ghost anytime soon.
Jesus Christ!
And then we are getting older. But that was the thing. I mean, it's got to be about that, because when I was just a mere listener, and you were on there with certain other Luke and Dave and everyone, and I remember when I came in the first day, and it was like, oh, it was like meeting celebrities.
Oh God. Do you know what? But to be fair, you know, I've never really thought about it, because literally with the Fancast, I've always just been the same. Like, I'll just turn up, I'll just say what I've got to say about the match, about Wolves, about whatever, and then go. But when you actually think about it, like, there are possibly 2, maybe 3 people who listen to the Fancast every week. So, you know, people do sort of look at you and sort of take your opinion on board, which is quite strange, really, because to me, that's just weird. Like, that is really weird.
Yeah, I was going to say idols then, but I think that would be pushing it a bit too far. And I think that's been the best part of it all, that we're all very different people. I mean, when Rich has talked about this before, and me and him would never in a million years meet. I mean, me and you literally live down the street from each other. So we obviously would, but I think you get different people from different walks of life, and Wolves being the one thing that they agree to disagree on most of the time. and you do form this kind of this bond with people. It's really odd. It's really hard to describe.
When you look at our group chat, and without the Fancast, with all due respect, I probably wouldn't speak to anybody off the Fancast. And I'm sure it's the other way around as well. Nobody would speak to me without the Fancast, because we are all so different. But I do think that's good as well, because if it was all the same, it would be boring. You know, now I know what a podcast is 10 years later. You do get some of these podcasts and people try and act like they're best friends and this, that and the other. And, you know, that they're scared to have a clash of opinions, which to me is boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to have that difference of opinion. I mean, on a daily basis, there's an argument popping off in the Fancast group because we're just so different. But that is life. That is life, and that's how it should be. You know, over the years, I've received that much abuse for my opinion because people don't agree with it. But if everyone did agree with my opinion and what I said about Wolves, then it would just be boring. It would be boring, you know. And we all look at Wolves in a different light, don't we, in a different way. We've all got our own views, experiences. So we are going to view things completely different to other people. But I think that is what's good about the Fancast. You know, there's a lot of people out there with their opinion about the Fancast in a negative way. But for me, it is the beauty of the difference of opinions. Like, I've learned so much of people from the Fancast, but not just about Wolves, though. In life as well. Like, there's some really intelligent guys there, and it's quite eye-opening, to be fair. And it's good, you know. To be fair, I mean, I'm glad that Dave asked me to come on. You know, there was times back in the day I used to be like, fuck this. I'm allowed to swear on this. Do you know what? I won't
as if you don't know.
It's not good. But, like, I used to think, oh, my mates are going to take the mick out of me. Podcasts are for geeks, they're for nerds, they're for this, they're for that, they're for the other. And I used to get quite embarrassed, to be fair, to come on. I'm not going to lie. I did used to get quite embarrassed. Like, nah, man, the lads are going to rip me for being on a podcast, like. But, you know, it's been good. It's been a good journey. It has been a really good journey. And I never even realised it was 10 years until we just started talking. Because it's just gone like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, on the Fancast badge itself, it says 2007 when Dave was doing it as his university project. So it's even longer now. I mean, we did the 10-year live show, which was a ridiculous success, to be honest. And I think you were in one of your down periods then, as you were back on loan to domestication at that time. And yeah, so I mean, it's even longer than that when you think about it. I mean, I've been on since 8-9 years, and you'd already been doing it for longer than that. So, and you are right. I mean, and for whatever people say, and obviously you're listening to this, you're a fan of us anyway, and maybe not me, maybe you've already turned off, but who knows. But it is right that we were kind of on our own for a long time. We're the only one, and now you've got 77 Club, and you've got Talking Wolves, and you've got everyone else, and everyone caters for their own thing. I mean, yeah, we have a laugh about it on Twitter and whatever, and take the piss out of each other in the group chat and slag off certain people, and I'm sure they do the same to us. But the point is, it's for me, podcasts have, I mean, I was listening to, because I am that nerd that I know you're going to try and say it, you're just being nice, and you didn't want to say it because I've got the controls, so I can mute you whatever I want. Right, I was the target audience for this kind of stuff, and I listened to it back in the day, like I said, and I was a super fan, and I have listened. I even listened to the episodes that I was on at one point, listened to myself walking down the canal to work.
Yeah.
But like that, I mean, you've, in a way, you are an influencer, because, I mean, talk about the time that you did with Nate on the Football Neophotes podcast, how that came about.
God, Jesus, yeah, that was mental. Well, do you know what? I sent him a message the other day, actually, because it was his birthday. And again, something that I just completely forgot about. But that was quite funny, actually. So this guy called Nate, he was doing a podcast in America, and he was just looking for a Premier League team to support, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So he run a podcast with fans from the 20 Premier League clubs at the time. I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago. And whoever sort of sold their club the most to him, he was like, that's who I'm going to support. I don't care who it is. Whoever sells their club to me the most, that is who I'm going to support. And I'm proud to say that after a conversation with me, he's now a Wolves fan. But he loves the Wolves. He absolutely loves the Wolves. But yeah, it's weird. Like, you know, I've been able to connect with people from America and influence. I don't even want to say their lives, but football does become your life, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it is a massive part of your life. And to be able to sort of have that sort of persuasion to make somebody be a Wolves fan who knew so little about not just the club, but English football in general, to be able to sell Wolves for him to become a fan, that's pretty cool, to be fair. Again, it's just little things that you don't really think about until people mention it. And, you know, they use the term influencer. To me, that's just cringe. Like, if anyone, to me, it is proper cringy. But I suppose when you do have a certain voice on a certain platform, your opinion can be influential on people, I suppose.
Well, yeah, and to the extent that he's booked a trip over here for the Forest at home and Palace away games this year.
Has he?
Yeah.
So I'll have to meet him. 100% I've got to meet him for them games.
Yeah, well, he'll come down and we'll have a drink around here as well, so we'll pop in.
Again,
he's become one of my, through the power of the internet, that he's one of my good friends online. I speak to him pretty much every day. It's mental.
Really?
Yeah. And if it wasn't for Soccer Neophytes, as they're rebranded, which it makes more sense name-wise, let's go and check them out. They're really good. I mean, Nate's been on the show anyway. Mm-hmm. He was on a film cast talking about, what was he on? It was one of the Football Factory. That was a great episode. If you missed that one and you want thirsting for content, go and find that. But yeah. So in a way, you actually are a proper influencer because you've made someone change their life to the extent that they're coming to Wolverhampton for 3 days. Through choice.
Do you know what? I'm going to put that in my social media bios, influencer, and no one's going to take it away from me now. I'll put that in. Even though it does make me cringe, but I'll put it in.
If Twitter let you back on.
But do you know what? To be fair, right, saying about the influence thing, when I was on Twitter, I actually do think I was a big part of Wolves Twitter at the time. You know, all those years ago. I used to get some good interactions on there until the fuckers banned me permanently. Like, what's that all about, man? How do you get permanently banned from Twitter? I bet you there's no other Wolves content creators out there that can say that they've been permanently banned from Twitter.
No.
You know what I mean? So that's another tick to the Fancast box.
And it wasn't like you were being racist, was it?
Honest to God. Like, you see some of the stuff that you see online and people get away with it, and then I get permanently banned from Twitter for saying that. What was his name now? The geezer from the geezer, the COVID man.
Oh, Chris Whitty.
No, not him.
Oh, the other one.
The one who was feeling up that woman in his office.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
He was on LBC the other day as well. He was sacked.
Matt Hancock.
Yeah, Hancock. Yeah.
Matt Hancock, that's the one. Just for saying, Matt Hancock deserves a slap in the face. Permanent ban on Twitter. But I used to love Twitter. But then again, saying that, like, Twitter has been a big part of the Fancast. But it's not the same as what it used to be.
No.
It's not the same. It's gone downhill now. It's gone downhill.
I mean, I said about when we were talking about a thing in the mystical group chat, and we're not supposed to talk about, but how every kind of Liverpool thread on there resorts to people saying things like ratio and mid and, yeah, words of the street, but it's nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. It's like you read the main points and then you just drift away because none of it's just one-upmanship and it's nonsense. But
the problem with Twitter now and social media in general, there's just too many people desperate for that like and desperate for that retweet. I firmly believe that there's people out there, Wolves fans out there, whatever, who don't even believe what they're typing, but they're just desperate for that retweet. Completely desperate for it.
Morning, HRH. Good. Welcome aboard, sir. And he knows exactly what he's doing, and he's good at it, to be fair. Mm. But talking about likes and influences, who influenced your choice to be a Wolves fan then, back in the day? How did it come about?
Just myself, really. You know, my dad, Albion fan. My stepdad, Albion fan. My uncle, Villa fan. My brothers, Albion fans. My sisters, I'll use the term fan lightly, but if there was to pick a team, they'd probably pick Albion. But, you know, where I grew up, everyone at school, well, I say everyone, but the majority of my friends growing up in Woodcross were Wolves fans. And when I started to like football, probably at the age of six, it was just like, well, I live in Wolverhampton, so why would I support anyone else? I live in Wolverhampton, you know, if I get the bus into town, I can see the Molyneux. Wolves is my team. And that was pretty much it. Like, my dad, my first ever game of football, funnily enough, was an Albion game. My dad took me to West Brom v Exeter in about 1993 or something like that. But I was already Wolves and nothing was going to change it. So like I said, most of my mates at school was Wolves fans. Most of my mates, when I used to play out in the street, Wolves fans. So lived in Wolverhampton. It just made perfect sense. You know, because I don't think at the time I started liking football, even though I would be like, yeah, I'm a Wolves fan, I don't actually think I knew any Wolves players at that time, at the age of like six. I just knew the club. But again, apart from sort of my surroundings, I don't think there's one thing, like I can't say, oh, I support Wolves because my granddad did, or oh, I support Wolves because I like the colour of the shirt, or I've seen them on the telly and they won 3-0. It's just literally my environment. Like, people say Wolves is in your blood. Like, it literally is in my blood. It's got to be. It's got to be, you know, because it would be so easy for me just to say, oh, do you know what? My dad supports Albion. I'm going to go support Albion. Or at the time, Man U are the best team in the country. I'm just going to support Man United. But now, Wolves, living Wolves, support Wolves, simple.
Yeah, perfect answer. And I didn't know that either, but your wretched family history.
Not many people do, mate. Not many people do.
Thousands of people know. No.
Well, I don't know, mate. Maybe hundreds. Dozens.
Well, we can see the analytics. You can't. It's a good job you're not on Twitter, because the barrage is coming your way. I mean, I had enough of saying my dad was a Man United fan, and I could have chose them in the 90s. Yeah, I could have actually had a reason for enjoying myself, but no. Wolves, if it isn't in your blood, you can't escape it. And we sign up for this torture. So, so when was your first Wolves game then, since your first football game was at Albion?
My first Wolves game was actually a reserve game against Stoke City on a, I can't remember, I know it was a midweek game. I know it was freezing cold. I know it was dark. And I know we drew 0-0. And I know I got to the game in a Ford Fiesta. That's about all I remember. But yeah, Wolves reserves, 0. Stoke City reserves, 0. Probably would have been around 1994. I think. I couldn't even tell you who played in the game. But it was a terrible game of football. Absolutely terrible. But my first sort of proper game was Grimsby at home in 1995. We won 4-1. Bully got a brace. Don Goodman got a brace. The sun was shining. Beautiful day. I was sat in the John Island at the time, the John Island lower, close to the halfway line, but more towards the north bank. And I was about 7 or 8 rows in. And to be fair, even though 95, what, nearly 30 years ago, I can still remember it so vividly. It was my uncle that took me, the Villa fan, so that's my mum's dad. My mum's dad. We're not Albion fans.
Well,
that's my mum's brother. he's a Villa fan, but he took me to the game. And I still remember to this day, we got the bus up there, jumped off the bus, and we went into William Hill, which is by, do you remember the one that's by the Wolverhampton Holmes office?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of on the corner opposite the Greggs. I don't think it's there anymore. But I remember we went into William Hill, and he was like, do you want to have a bet on the game? And I said, yeah, I want Tony Daly to score first. And I can still remember him turning around to me and saying, Tony Daly, like, he's rubbish. But the game before, we played, I think we might have played Derby County, and Tony Daly scored, and it was probably his only ever goal for Wolves. But as a child, I remember saying, well, Tony Daly's come from Villa, you know, they're a bigger club than us. He's played for England, you know, who else has played for England in this squad? Like, probably nobody. I want Tony Daly to score first. And then obviously walking in, into the ground for the first time, just, well, actually, no, not for the first time, but the first time sort of full.
Mm.
Like, it's something that I reckon every Wolves fan remembers, that first time sort of coming out of the concourse and the ground just sort of opening up to you. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Well, if that was your first, I mean, other than Cardiff, the Millennium Stadium, what's your favourite Wolves memory?
Favourite Wolves memory, there's loads, to be fair. I mean, like you said, Cardiff. I mean, for that Cardiff game, I always remember I stayed at my mate's the night before and we got the bus into town and we got the train into Cardiff. I think I was 17 when we played Cardiff in the final. And I always remember my mum phoning me up the night before saying, oh, they've been fighting in, I think it was Western Supermare or something. Wolves and Sheffield United fans have been fighting in Western Supermare. Be safe when you get there and there. I remember going to the shop in the morning and we've got two big bottles of WKD to drink on the way down. Probably like four cans of Stella between six of us. But my one memory from there is walking in and just seeing, it was just like a sea of gold, an absolute sea of gold. And I love that. That is one thing I do love about Wolves. When Wolves play in the summer and all you can see in the stand is gold, I absolutely love it. So that's why one of my favourite memories, again, is MK Dons away. You know, I'm sure it's not really been mentioned too much, but we did take 10K to MK almost. But
and then played in fucking purple.
But no, just, I don't know, just seeing all those Wolves fans in one end, and it's that's what cup finals are all about, isn't it?
Mm.
Or cup semi-finals nowadays with bloody Wembley trying to cream the money in. So for me, I love that. No matter where we go, I just love entering the stadium and just seeing that sea of gold. But if I had to pick a favourite memory, God, maybe, and this is quite sort of sick, but the FA Cup semi-final.
No, I know what you mean.
Because that was, I was able to take my son to the FA Cup semi-final. And for me, and I'm sure for thousands of other men out there, taking your son to the football is just creme de la creme. Being able to take your son to watch your team play at Wembley just tops everything. That's what football is all, well, it's not what it's all about, but that is one of the pinnacles of football, sort of going with your child to watch your team. Yes, I know it was a cup semi-final, but even just watching Wolves at Wembley, you know, you're the same generation as me, Stu. When did you ever think you'd get to see Wolves at Wembley?
Well, yeah, it was
never. You
know, I was too young for the too young, and my mum didn't do away games for the one against Arsenal at Villa Park in 98. Mm. So that semi-final I missed out on. So yeah, even just getting to a semi-final would have been kind of like a dream 6 years ago. So yeah, exactly the same. And the same about taking your kids to Wembley as well. I mean, his first time at Wembley with Wolves was when he was eight, and it was for me, 30 odd. And we put the hard yards in and they haven't.
Majorly. And this is why I get annoyed with a lot of Wolves fans, because we just talked about it the other week or the other month. We've actually got a generation of Wolves fans now, and they don't know they're born. And I don't want to sound like an old man, which I probably will, and people will probably point out that. But, you know, you don't know what it's like to lose away at Port Vale. You know, to just sneak a draw at home against Bury. You know, we've got a generation of Wolves fans who don't know what it's like to beat Albion away from home. We've got a generation of Wolves fans who have never seen Steve Ball kick a football. That blows my mind. And I know it's a generational thing, but sometimes it's like, how can you talk to me about Wolves when you've never seen us beat the shit away and you've never seen Steve Ball kick a ball? It's crazy. Blows my mind. Like, but I think we're very, very lucky now, because when you go back over the 90s, imagine how Wolves fans now would have coped in the 90s. Imagine if everyone was desperate for a like and a retweet in the 90s, how toxic Twitter would be. What was that season when we lost at home to Bradford on the last day of the season and we missed out on the playoffs? And I think a win might have put us in. Yeah. When Graham Taylor left and we finished 20th in the championship and we stayed up on the last day of the season. When every single season we were the favourites to get promoted, and Jack Hayward would chuck a couple of million pound at the squad and we'd all get excited to finish ninth. You know what I mean? How many times we've been let down? Like, we, as frustrating as Wolves can be now, they don't let us down like they used to. No, it's not even close.
When you say that, I mean, again, another plug for a different podcast, the Wolf Whistle podcast. Jason's a good job over there. And he had Roy Lester on doing his best Wolves 11 pre-Fosun. And you look at, he was reading him off, and I was listening to it this morning, and you look at that team, and yeah, it's spanning three generations just about, but you got Matt Murray, Keith Curl, Dean Richards, Lescott, Dennis Irwin, Steve Froggatt as wingbacks, Paul Ince, Jeff Thomas, Robbie Keane, Stephen Fletcher and Bully. And you think the players that we've had, most of them are from the 90s, and every single time it was a disgrace. Every single year,
without fail. Like, one of my lowest lows as a Wolves fan, and I'll admit it, I cried. Cried at the football, cried in the stand. You know, yeah, it's embarrassing, but I was about 8, but still, it's embarrassing. But when we lost to Palace in the playoff semis, did we lose 3-1 away and then 1-2-1 at home?
Yeah,
4-3 on aggregate. But that was the season when I thought, this is it, we're doing it. We had the iconic shirt with the Wolves head on. And even though we lost 3-1 away from home, I thought, when we get them at Molineux, it's a different ball game. And the atmosphere that day is one of the best atmospheres I've ever heard at the Molineux. I'll never forget that atmosphere against Palace at home. And David Hopkin broke my heart. Absolutely. Because we went 1-0 up, didn't we? Was it?
Yeah.
Was it Mark Atkins? Or Adrian Williams, maybe?
It's someone like that.
Yeah, but somebody will know. And obviously they'll make me look stupid because I don't even remember who scored against Palace in the semi-final. But we went 1-0 up. And then did we go 2-0 up? And then Hopkins scored.
In my memory, that's how it happened. Again, you should just check.
Mandela effect, though. You've got to think out the Mandela effect. So if anything that I say today is wrong, it's down to the Mandela effect. But, yeah, I remember David Hopkins scoring and absolutely broke my heart, because I was adamant that was the season we was going to get promoted. And I was so desperate to see Wolves in the Premier League. Like, so, so desperate. It was because we can all paint a rosy picture of how the Championship's the most competitive league in the world and how good it is. But realistically, everybody wants to see the team playing in the Prem, don't they?
Yeah.
Realistically. Nobody sits there and says, well, a team a team of or a club of Wolvesy sort of level, yeah, can't wait for another season in the Championship. No, you want to be in the Prem. And so it's just the years of heartbreak. That was my first, I think that was my first sort of proper heartbreak with football, David Hopkin. And then obviously the season, was it 1999-2000 when we was pissing it and we finished third and the shit went up?
No, that was 2002.
Was it 2002?
Yeah.
So again, that's another season that broke my heart. Absolutely destroyed me, because sort of around sort of January, February time, it was sort of, I was preparing myself for my club to be a Premier League club. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not something that I like to admit too much. But do you know if it was somebody like Nottingham Forest or Cardiff or Ipswich Town, it would have softened the blow so much.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it was West Brom, and they all, how many points did they say was in front of them? 14.
It was never,
so it doesn't really count.
Yeah, it was 10, but 11 with goal difference, effectively.
That was another heartbreak, pure heartbreak. And I think when that happened, that season was sort of, I thought, we're never going to do it. I'm never, ever going to get to see Wolves play in the Premier League in my lifetime. It just felt like it was never going to happen. You know, if I sort of, I think I've been following Wolves maybe 6 or 7 seasons then, but I just thought it's never, ever going to happen. And when that's happening to you against your local rivals as well, you know, it does make you think that way. And was that the season we lost to Norwich in the playoffs?
And I'm sure we were 3-1 down in the first leg of that as well.
Yeah. And, you know, we're never going to do it. Never.
When you lose 3 playoff semi-finals in the space of what, 7 or 8 years,
yeah,
it's cursed. And just for the live updates, it was 1-1, and we came back to make it 2-1. So it was Mandela affected. It was Mark Atkins on 30, Hopkins 66, and AD Williams 85. So with 5 minutes left, challenging, pushing for a goal to equal. I mean, the most amazing thing is that there was only 26,500 there.
Really?
Yeah. According to this, 26,403.
So what did it hold at the time? Was it 27,500?
28,525. And I presume they would have had the
bottom of the ball.
Yeah. Rather than, so unless the segregation, even the segregation wouldn't have been enough, unless some at the bottom as well. I can't remember. The atmosphere for that was, there's only the Man United Cup game a few years ago that's come close to that game.
Yeah, electric. Palace. Absolutely electric. And that's one thing that I love about Wolves. Like, we are actually a proper club, because there's some shit clubs out there, but we are a proper, proper club. And there's only a few proper clubs out there, and we're one of them.
Not them.
So with Leeds are a proper club. They're just not as big as what they think they are. And that's just a fact. They're not even in the top 20 clubs in the country, but that's a debate for another podcast. But one thing, and this isn't me being biased at all, but when Wolves fans are on it, there's not many fans in the country that top us.
No.
There really isn't. And I think that's part of what gets you about being a Wolves fan and keeps you in, like the passion of the fans. And the atmosphere and the humour as well. You know, we've all been to a Wolves game and we've seen or heard something which is just both utterly ridiculous and absolutely hilarious at the same time.
I mean, the whole thing that Jody Craddock had to suffer. I mean, he had to suffer being chanted that he was shite over and over again every week for about 7 years. And that's been nice to the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one else does that.
You know, there's a certain humour amongst Wolves fans that other clubs you just wouldn't get.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't even come close. So I do think our fans are up there, really up there. Like, I mean, we're recording this just as we're about to play a couple of games in Benidorm. So by the time this is released, I think there'll be a couple of videos floating about the internet that back up that claim.
Yeah, and a few missing posters as well. Before we go, we'll have a quick break before we go on to players, because I'm guessing that we could be here for another... Well, we could be here for another hour. Just talking about individual players, but so give yourself a chance to breathe, and we'll be back in a second.
Hi, it's Richard from Wolves Fancast here. Just interrupting today's show before we get back to some questionable opinions and opinionated questions to talk to you a little bit about our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media. They are a design agency that put you and your business first, from web design, logo and branding design, and marketing. If you have any marketing needs, get in touch with them to find out how they can help you get it right. They are over at pixelyetimedia.com. Now let's get back to a show where we can give you some really forced wordplay, niche cultural references, and maybe even a bit of football talk.
So talking about Jody Craddock before the break, he still has more goals and assists than Adama Traore. just putting that out there. So on taking away your weird obsession with Traore, who is your favourite Wolves player of all time, other than Bully?
You know what? I know you asked me to think about this before we started.
This is why.
But I haven't thought about it. There's so many. I mean, obviously you've got Robbie Keane for the element of he was produced at Wolves, come through our academy and then went on to be so great. Sylvain Ebanks Blake's up there for me. Absolutely loved him. Absolutely loved Seb because he was just a natural goal scorer. He was like Defoe Light. And mm-hmm. I love Defoe. He was like Defoe Light. Sacco, again, absolutely love Sacco. Lescott, Mickey Stell, Andy Thompson. I quite like Alex Ray, Colin Cameron. That was decent. But if I had to pick one, so I've got to pick one, my favourite ever Wolves player, just one.
Just one. It can be Bully if you want to cheat.
Forget Steve Ball. It's all I'm going to go for. It's a bit left field. Bakary Sacko. I just absolutely loved him. I know he's not the best player we've ever had, but it was sort of at a time where I felt like we hadn't had that little bit of trickery, that little bit of, as Thierry Henry would say, je ne sais quoi, for such a long time. And I just felt like he was the first player in a while that got bums off seats. You know, when he got the ball, like, it felt like electric was about to be produced. And I think one thing that Sacco doesn't get enough credit for is his loyalty to the club.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we went down to League One, he was comfortably a Premier League player. And he could have, and to be fair, he probably should have left us, but he didn't, he stuck around. So I think he deserves a lot of props for that. So, yeah, you know what, I'll go with Sacco.
Yeah, that's a fine choice, and he did. I mean, he had, there was the things about Forest, one, and when he had chances to go there. And fair enough, he had, what was it, he missed a couple of games in two different transfer windows for his head not being right, which is, again, we can talk about heads gone. We mentioned him earlier. There's a right and wrong way to do these things. And yeah, he should never, ever have been in League One. We shouldn't have been in League One as a club, let alone Bakary Sacko. But yeah, you can't fault his application to that league when he was obviously way, way ahead of what was on the pitch ahead of him and in front of him. He could have strolled around being the big I am, but he knuckled down and he took the tackles. And yeah, I think that's a solid choice, actually.
And especially with how the modern day footballer is as well. You know, I think the assumption was that he would just sort of down tools and just be like, you know what, I'll pick up my money. If the ball's around me, I might do something, but you know, I'm not going to graft for it. But he did, man. He grafted for it. But again, like Ebanks Blake, the goals, his goals were invaluable for us as a club. And I think he was quite harshly done by when we got to the Prem.
Mm.
But I do still sort of understand why he didn't get as many opportunities as he did. Because even though he's a great goal scorer, could he have bridged that gap between Championship and Prem? I suppose we'll never know.
He couldn't have played the role that Doyle played in that system. Mm. I think it was just one of them. I think he was. We had to play a certain way to survive, and he was just the fall guy, unfortunately. And that's what we mean. Talking about fall guys, not the excellent free-to-play game, which you should all have on Xbox and PlayStation. Fall Guys is a really good game. You should try.
I've never even heard of it.
It's like little animated bean men crossed with like Total Wipeout. And so you have 100 people start, like free-to-play multiplayer. You have 100 people start, and you're controlling this one thing, and you've just got to run to the end of the level. And then people fall off the side and get eliminated, and then it goes down to one, and the one at the end is crowned champion.
Can you sort of play that with your mates as well? Because we're drafting Among Us at the minute, which is more fun than what I thought it would be.
Yeah. It's cross-play as well. You can play with people on PlayStation and on Xbox and Switch and wherever you want. It's great. Give it a try. Yeah, so talking about Fall Guys, there has been many villains wearing the golden black over the years. And obviously Paul Jones is one of the worst ever. Only second.
Hold on. I don't think I've ever asked you this, but you mention Paul Jones quite often. Why? Have I missed something here? What did he do?
He was, it was the disrespect that he shown. He was doing that car, you know, that Alatoya thing that the Cardiff people do.
Mm.
He was doing that after they thrashed us at Molineux. And he did it in front of the stable at the end. And you think, well, what are you doing?
Why did it? That makes no sense. Was that the first time he was with us or the second?
It was the second time when he came back and replaced Michael Oakes for no reason whatsoever and got us relegated.
Yeah, because he was never even that good the first time around, was he really? Like, no, he was like, okay.
Yeah, he was a solid number two.
Mm.
But that's just been picked. I mean, there's been loads who've just been shit. But is there anyone who you actively despise?
I mean, Hawara's a bit of a prick, ain't he? He's Bellend. Roger Johnson, Bellend. Another one. But this one hurts me a little bit to say because I was so excited when he signed. But Henri Kamara, he'd never covered himself in glory, really, did he?
I mean, when everyone got your Senegal flags out to try and make him feel at home and make him stay.
I know, but do you know what? That's the thing. Like, Wolves fans were so welcoming, and then when players shit on you, it's like you're just a prick, mate. You are a prick. Oh my god, no, the one. Now, this is going back to the Twitter days, right? And this was when I was that virgin sconner on Twitter and would try and get reactions out of people. I do remember having a massive argument to the point where we was like, come on then. Let's have a fight with with Greg Halford. Honestly, me and Greg Halford was up for scrapping. Because when I think he was at Forest. And we had this massive argument on Twitter. So yeah, here's another one. He's a prick, Greg Halford.
Yeah. I vividly remember that, vaguely remember that happening as well.
Honestly, it was so weird. I can't even remember what we was arguing about, but it was like a proper full-blown argument. It was like proper up for it. Like, I mean,
it's something like you called him shit or that he didn't try or something. It was something really innocuous like that.
He just
took the bait and he was like went off on one.
Yeah, like he proper went off on one. So do you know what? For that reason, I'll pick him, Greg Halford, because I mean, I'm now a professional footballer, but whenever I see him play, I can only go off what I see him play for Wolves. Shit, he was terrible. Like to the point where now I know there's levels in football, and everybody who's ever kicked a ball for Wolves is a better footballer than me. Ogeli, you ain't got to remind me, Ogeli. But there's certain players you look at and you think, like, how has this guy made it to this level? and Greg Halford's one of those. Like, apart from a really long throw, what can he, like, he's crap. He's so bad. So, so bad. And that's one thing that annoys me about Wolves. We've had some shit players over the years, man. Like, remember when we signed Stefan Iversen? No, I'm not. But, like, what annoyed me with Stefan Iversen was he was all right for Tottenham.
Yeah.
And then he come to us and he was absolute dog dirt. He was terrible. Yeah. But, yeah, Greg Halford, most hated Wolves player ever. And if by any chance he's watching, I'm still game. Let's go. Me and you, Greg, let's go.
I mean, the fact that he was signed because he could do something that Rory Delap could do.
Signed for a long throw. And, I, you know, even though it was like 10 years ago or whatever, I believe still on about 20 grand a week for a long throw. He's literally a glorified javelinist. Javelina, whatever. What would the word be?
Javelin eye.
You know what I mean? It's frustrating. It's frustrating. It's frustrating when you see players take the piss out of the club. And I know it's their job and they've got a job to do and they've got no loyalty to the club. But, you know, when you've been through, you have to go through some real, real, real crap being Wolves fans. You know, just show a bit of respect and just show a bit of pride. But as well, even though myself included, Wolves fans can be arseholes, I still think, and we are very sort of moody, I still don't think we ask for that much, you know. Just as long as you show a bit of respect and you try, 90% of the time, the Wolves fans will back and support you.
Yeah, I think that kind of, it kind of backs the Hwang situation last year because, I mean, after his injury, I mean, we've said it enough times about how awful he was. We didn't get actively slagged off in the stands. It was all online. It was all kind of on things like this and whatever. It was never actually towards him because you could see that he whatever had happened to him, and it wasn't his fault. Clearly, he was injured and he never kind of got back from that. But he still tried. However terrible he was, he still tried.
And this is the thing. It with Wang, hundreds of other players over the years, when it's your technique that's letting you down and not your attitude, it's a different kettle of fish, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, if he was absolutely amazing, like, okay, here's a good example. Again, I'll probably get pelters for this, but a player who I actually thought was half decent, but his attitude is absolutely terrible, was Van der Parra.
I got paid.
But, you know, he got abused from the Wolves fans, and rightly so, because his attitude was just terrible. But technically, I thought he was a good player. I thought he was half decent.
Yeah, and it was never going to come back from that tweet, was it, or no. Press release? I mean, you can't be saying things like that. I think that is one good thing about the whole no dickheads policy that we've had for the last in the Fosun era, that we don't have these people anymore. That even if they're not good enough, they get shipped out and they go somewhere else and they get treated with respect. And that's kind of all you ask for, really. Talking about treated with respect and technique and stuff, they kind of, to round it off, what, since you've stepped back from the Fancast front line, so you want to tell the good people at home what you've been doing with your time in the meantime?
So basically I just stepped back just for football reasons. Like, my lad started playing football, so, you know, with his training and whatnot, several times a week in games, I just didn't have time for the podcast, and I just never felt it was fair to sort of still try and stay at the forefront of the podcast when I couldn't commit any time to it. And then, obviously, I've started coaching myself as well.
Give it a plug.
Yeah, so I've started coaching, you know, I've set up my own football club, AFC Wolves. You know, who'd have thought I would have come up with that name? I've started up my own football club just for the kids of the city, just to get involved in football and have that opportunity to play. You know, from there, I've sort of been doing one-to-one coaching, private tuition, all that sort of stuff. And I'll be honest with you, I absolutely love it. I love it. it's fantastic. And you know, I've set myself certain goals, and we'll just see where we can go. I'm still really, really early into my journey, even though I've been doing it for 6 years now. But I still feel I'm really early into my journey. But you know, that's what took me away from the podcast. That's what took me away from Wolves as well, to a degree. Because even though I've got a season ticket, you know, I don't go every week because I'm at football myself. But it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. It, you know, I love Wolves, and I know there's Wolves fans out there, and like, well, if you'd all go home and away, and if you'd all go and watch us play real, and when we take our under 18s, you are a proper fan. But no one can tell me that I am a proper fan, and so I ain't bothered because I know I'm a proper fan. So it makes no odds to me. But yeah, so that's what I've been doing. So who knows? Maybe one day I'll be managing myself, Stu. And I'll be the one getting abused. No, I'm joking.
Then we can slag you off and put all your clips of your past endeavours on here.
But this is why I could never work in professional football, because I'd be ruined. From all my opinions over the years, I'd be ruined, because people can't take honesty nowadays, mate.
I think that's the thing, that we voluntarily got a digital footprint that everyone can find and just find anything and clip it out and do whatever they want to us.
David Evans has got me by the bollocks, mate, because he has cut that much out from stuff I've said over the years. Like, to be fair, I need to show Dave a bit more respect, because honestly, there's that many, like, players, managers, coaches, fans that I've absolutely slaughtered. But to be fair to Dave, I did used to say, keep it in, don't bother me. But he would cut it out, so.
Yeah, I think you were the reason why we had to go for the explicit rating in the first place, in the early days. So you've got examples of you coaching and stuff on your Instagram, ain't you? So put that out there if you want.
Yeah, so if you just go at matchfit.training, you'll see some videos of my coaching and whatnot. AFC Wolves Development Centre as well. Find us on Facebook, find us on Instagram. If you're looking for any one-to-one coaching, 2-to-1, 3-to-1, 4-to-1, small group sessions, if you're looking for soccer schools, if you're looking for to get yourself in football, if you're looking to get your child into football, your niece, your nephew, your brother, your sister, your auntie, your uncle, whoever, just hit me up, man. I've got a couple of contacts. I can get people involved in grassroots football. Also, I'm working on another project as well, but it's over the dark side, so I'll try not to talk about it too much. But a little project at Albury United. We're going to be in West Mid Regional League Division 2 next season, but the ambitions are high. And that's all I'm going to say on that for now. The ambitions are high. So just keep your eyes out for Albury United. And hopefully, in the not too distant future, you might see us in a FA Cup tie or two.
Superb. And I think I'll be doing it a disservice to the OG fans to ask the burning question. When is the FIFA Beast going to start streaming on Twitch?
Well, I did actually download FIFA 22 yesterday. I haven't even played FIFA 22.
No, it's free.
No, it's I think it was free on the iPlayer. I thought, yeah, I'll have that. But I've had to retire. I'm 36 now, Stu. I can't. If I go around calling myself a FIFA 36, mate, come on. I have to retire that.
You know how close, for the audio listeners, we've got SFTP Luke Thompson on the graphic. I was so close to putting FIFA Beast in the middle.
Do you know what? It's actually really embarrassing that I actually tried to make that a thing.
It's better than the Zelly Ishmael comedy. Let's be honest.
Yeah, let's be honest. It is. But one thing that I have done, I've been playing a lot of Football Manager lately. Well, I've always played a lot of Football Manager. I'm obsessed with it. And I see somebody who does another Wolves podcast and actually coaches at the club, AFC Wolves. So I'm not going to go into him too hard, but I feel like I'm going to call him out on Football Manager and just absolutely wipe floor with him.
And this is why we need you back on Twitter.
I know. See? One day, when has Elon Musk taken over Twitter yet?
No, he's dropped out. He's screwed again.
When Twitter gets taken over, Watch out for the returns of me and Donald Trump.
Because, together, talking about COVID.
We're going to come out like the Legion of Doom. Donald Trump going to come back on Twitter like the Legion of Doom.
There's your Photoshop opportunity, people. Do your worst. And on that note, that bombshell, prediction for the season as of the 20th of July, 2022.
I mean, we've got half a striker at the minute, so I was struggling, but I always try and start the season optimistic. We will finish 9th. We'll get to the League Cup quarterfinal because we'll have a favourable draw. And we'll get to the FA Cup 5th round.
I'll take that. I'll take that right now.
And Adama Traore will be top goal scorer.
Yeah, in League One. Thanks everyone for listening to this. I mean, he had to get in there. I mean, come on. Some people are beyond help. Thanks to 90 Min for part of the 90 Minute Network and Sports Shop Kings Winford and all our usual friends. Stay tuned to Wolves Fancast. We'll have everything. We'll all be back to normal soon. And you can harass us and have us in your ears twice a week, as is the way. So until next time, guys, enjoy yourselves and be kind. Ta-ra.
See you later. See you in a bit. Cheers for that.